Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
If you love boxing, this is the show for you. Fight Night Extra with myself, Adi Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis. Today, we're going to be discussing wins for two of the biggest stars in boxing. And Oya Inoue staking his claim as the best pound-for-pound fighter on the planet with a devastating KO of Luis Neri. And Canelo Alvarez, who made light work of Jaime Munguia on Cinco de Mayo weekend in Las Vegas. We are just 2 weeks out now from Tyson Fury versus Alexander Usyk. Myself and Gareth will take an early look at the fight and hear from Fury's promoter, Frank Warren, who's told us his man is fighting for legacy when the pair meet in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Plus, we have to discuss a failed drugs test for Ryan Garcia and the postponement, to the anger of many, including myself, of Beterbiev versus Bivol as well. Loads to try and cram into the next hour, so let's do this. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Rumbled, and the monster has roared. He's done it again.
Clear winner by unanimous decision. And still, the WBC, WBA, IBF, WBO, undisputed super middleweight champion of the world, Saul Canelo Alvarez.
This Tyson Fury's going in there. I mean, he's trained like the demon for this. And he really wants this, as much as he says that, you know, it's about winning, not so much about the belts. This, for him, is legacy.
You failed the test, and they go, they're waiting for the B sample. Well, guess what? The B sample is half of the A sample. So it's going to come back the same. And so, you know, he's going to have to now prove how this stuff got in his system. I don't like it, and I think that it stinks.
Gareth A. Davis, my man, you obviously would have watched the great man, Inoue, get up off the canvas to stop Luis Neri. Before we specifically talk about the fight, obviously there's now the discussions about pound for pound. There always will be every time a superstar fights. Has he now jumped above Crawford, or you still have him as number two pound for pound?
No, he's my number one now.
Number one, okay.
There's no question about it. And also, it's making me think now. I wanted to rack up the air miles and the time zones as you've been doing. And I wanted to be there. I sat there with my father and my daughter's partner on Monday bank holiday with a screen here at the breakfast bar behind me. We were all doing commentary. It was like three generations of commentary going on. We were absolutely, literally falling off our stools watching. For me, the fact he was knocked down in the first round and the way he came back, because he was reckless in that first round, looking for big shots, throwing himself across the ring to try and get an early finish. He's an absolute superstar. 55,000 in that arena where,
wow,
obviously Mike Tyson lost a 42-1 outsider, a Buster Douglas in 1990, the Tokyo Dome. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's an amazing place. And the way they support the Japanese, I know we've had discussions about the way the Saudi Arabian crowd is. Ripples of applause in Japan, and he's one of their biggest stars. They don't go wild there. I thought his poise, panache, precision, footwork, punch finality, power, of course, he is the monster, I think makes him the way he's carried his weight up those divisions in terms of being able to, his power rather, up the divisions in being able to knock opponents out is extraordinary. And Lewis Neary, obviously getting him down early in the fight in the first round, you thought, wow, this is incredible. My father was sitting there going, wow, he's going to beat him. And I said, no, watch this guy though, because he is special. Mm-hmm. And slowly and surely demolished and chopped down the tree in front of him. Extraordinary performance. And when you think only he and Terence Crawford, Addy, the only two male fighters to hold undisputed titles in two weight divisions, and Usyk may join them.
Yeah.
By the way, a week on Saturday if he beats Fury, so it'll be a triumvirate of stars in that sense. But I don't know about you, but for me, he's gone to number one.
Yeah, and look, I always feel like every time one of the top dogs fight, they've got that chance to jump, and Crawford may well jump when he fights Majumov to be another champion at another weight class. But I'm with you for now. I think Inoue is pound for pound number one. I think boxing right now is in such a good space. I mean, we've always had sort of big fights all over the world, but you've always felt like the big draw was Las Vegas or Madison Square Garden. The fact we are going to Saudi where there's going to be thousands. We, as you said, the Tokyo Dome, 55,000. Kambosos is going to fight Lomachenko in front of nearly 20,000. There's massive fights now all over the world in different pockets. And like you, I was so jealous. I was on the plane back from Las Vegas and thank God we had Wi-Fi, but I was just so jealous not to be there. You can't be everywhere, but I was so jealous not to be there.
I was even texting Brad Jacobs, the COO of Top Rank, and Todd DeBoeuf, saying, God, I wish I was there, because it looked like an amazing show. A couple of other things about Inoue. What I think is extraordinary about the man is, and this is a column I wrote in The Telegraph the day after or the day of, here's one of the biggest stars in boxing, arguably the best boxer on the planet, who mainstream sports fans don't know. And I think this is an important point. 24 of his 27 fights in Japan, a brief sojourn to fight in Las Vegas twice, under the Top Rank banner. And of course, he fought at the SSE Hydro 5 years ago. And a rare treat for us, two-round demolition of his opponent. He's a secret to the sports world, but not a secret within the boxing world. And
well said, true.
I think it's a shame in a way because, you know, everyone knows who Lewis Hamilton is. Everyone knows who Tiger Woods is. And this guy is almost on that level. And he could maybe go, he can go up to featherweight and have a fight as well. And look at the riches there that he may find. He could fight Vasyl Lomachenko, for example. Imagine that fight. Vasyl Lomachenko against Noya Inoue. Do you like that?
I love it. I love it. I mean, everyone's trying to make those dream matchups, as you say. At the moment, he is at super bantam. Can he go to 126? Could he go to 130? Fight someone at a catch weight?
Ooh, 130. Wow, that is...
It's a lot. It's a lot, but you do wonder about these jumps, if it's possible. I don't know. I'm not sure. If he was 25, 26, you'd say yes, but what is he, 31?
He was at light flyweight.
I know, it's crazy.
10 years ago. And he's fought world titles for 10 years.
All
world titles for 10 years. And here's the other thing I love about him. He's married to his childhood sweetheart with three little kids. And he loves Disney parks. Do you know about this about him?
No.
He loves Disney parks. He loves Disneyland. He's a romantic. His favorite movie is Aladdin. And he is a genie for the modern times.
Oh, look at you. I like that. That was quite a good little nice little bit there from Mr. Gareth A. Davis. But no, honestly, look, fantastic performance from Inoue. And as I say, there's so many big fights coming up. Lomachenko versus Kambosos. Should I say Kambosos versus Lomachenko? The Undisputed. 5 versus 5. It's an incredible run of boxing at the moment. And we should be very, very fortunate that we are covering every single one of those big fights. All right, you're listening to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we are going to hear from Frank Warren. And we're going to talk Fury versus Usyk, which is just 2 weeks away. We'll also get stuck into the failed drug test, unfortunately, for Mr. Ryan Garcia in the wake of his big win over Devin Haney. It clearly overshadows that win now. But up next, we are going to discuss another pound-for-pound star, Canelo Alvarez. Who next for the Mexican great after his big win at the weekend? Welcome Welcome back. You're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Ade Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis. All right, let's talk about another pound-for-pound star. We were talking about Inoue, who's pound-for-pound number one. The guy that had that title for the best part of nearly a decade was Saul Canelo Alvarez, who is the current undisputed champ at 168 pounds. He wants that title back. He actually said in the ring after that win against Munguia that he is the best boxer on the planet. That can be discussed, but big win for him. On Cinco de Mayo at the T-Mobile Arena, the first win over a fellow Mexican since he beat Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. And I guess before we talk about the fight specifically, Gareth, I mean, a lot of people will want to know what next. And I always find that quite tough. I do those in-ring interviews sometimes and it's like, okay, you beat that guy, but enough of that. What next? And immediately people are talking about David Benavidez, people are talking about Edgar Belanga. We were talking about Terence Crawford at some sort of catchweight. If you could make a fight for him, realistically, in September, who would you want to see him in the ring with next?
David Benavidez. Plain and simple. Big, tall, upright, strong. If you were comparing Benavidez and Munguia, you've got the proper can of Coke and Coke Light in Munguia and Benavidez. I mean, Munguia tested Canelo to a certain extent, but when he was put down in the fourth round, that was kind of the end of him, really, and he was just working his way into the fight after that. As we said, he pretty much played out how we discussed it, certainly as how I saw it, which was that Munguia was made for Canelo in lots of ways, but most of all in the lack of experience he had at very, very high level. And Canelo, whatever you say about him, and that's what I was trying to say on last week's show with Barry Jones, I know you were traveling, was that we really need to appreciate how great these fighters are. We get slovenly with saying, oh, but they don't do this and they don't do that. Canelo is an extraordinary master of the sport, incredibly tough. He's been a pro for 20 years, 65 fights. I mean, he's gone up four weight divisions. He belongs in the top 10 Mexicans of all time, no question. But yes, you are also correct. And we reserve the right to critique. And the critique is at the moment, and I think it's an ego thing. I think there's been so much noise about you must fight David Benavidez. And he's such an alpha in the boxing world, Canelo. I will choose when I will fight certain people. And I think that's what it comes down to. I think we will get the fight, like we'll get the Crawford fight, because His Excellency Turkey Al Sheikh's on about that fight now. And also Benavidez is in the vision of His Excellency as well, with a mention alongside Beterbiev. Wouldn't have minded David Benavidez stepping in late to fight Bivol, by the way. Rather than the Libyan opponent. I know he's undefeated, but that would have been an amazing turnaround, suddenly get Benavidez in there. That's the guy, Benavidez and Crawford. And I think Canelo can walk away then, in my view, unless he wants to fight Beterbiev as well, which is a fight I'd love to see.
Right, there's so many options, right? I mean, you can be as good as you want. If you don't have dance partners, then you have a problem. Canelo's obviously got so many dance partners. And I think the point you made about let's appreciate them is such a good point, because I think fight fans, we kind of get carried away in trying to find a problem or a hole in these fighters. And as you say, Canelo, that was his 65th fight. He's given us two fights a year, guaranteed for the best part of a decade. And top fighters aren't doing that, unfortunately. We're getting, like, Crawford's a great example of a guy that's given us one fight a year. Like Javante Davis, one fight a year. Canelo's given us two fights a year, and it's always been a big name. It's always been a mandatory. It's always been a world title fight. I mean, he must have had world title fights now for the best part of his last 30 fights. I mean, he constantly gives you stuff, and yet there's always a critique of, why don't you fight that person instead or this person? Let's enjoy him. I think at this stage of his career, you know, I don't like to say it, but he's got the right to pick who he wants to fight. He can kind of pick and choose.
Yeah, and also the we want this fight, we want this fight. The more you hear it, the more there's that repetition of it, the more a fight marinades. And the richer it becomes and the bigger it becomes. And at the moment, the Benavidez-Canelo fight is marinating, isn't it? It really is marinating. So we will. I do think we'll get it, because I don't think Canelo is frightened of anyone, frankly. But I just think the timing will be right eventually for that fight to happen.
Yeah, during the fight, I was kind of trying to tweak, but it's so difficult to tweak as you're engrossed in it, the noise, the atmosphere. And what I did try and tweet was Munguia did land a couple of big shots. And I was lucky enough to be at Munguia's fight against John Ryder. And those shots kind of collapsed John Ryder in half. And I was like, I was trying to wrap my brains as to, I can't ever really remember in recent times anyway, seeing Canelo actually hurt.
No, he was in the first Golovkin fight.
Yeah. I don't remember a stumble though.
Did he get stumbled? No, he hurt him. No, he went on his bike for a round and a half against Golovkin in about the fifth round.
Mm.
And that's the only time I've seen him dismayed. I've seen two things with Canelo. I've seen him dismayed in the Mayweather fight, which I was at live. I think he was 22 at the time.
Yeah.
And he was coming at Mayweather like a bull, and the cloak of invisibility was being used by Mayweather all the time. And he was almost like sliding under Canelo and hitting him with a counter. But in that first Golovkin fight, when Golovkin was still at around his peak, he hurt Canelo, I think rounds five or six, and he got on his bike for about 5 minutes and recovered, circled the ring. That's the only time I can recall him being hurt. He gets hit, but he seems impervious to big punches. And I watched that as well. And listen, we mustn't write Munguia off. And Oscar De La Hoya said one good thing after the fight, which he was right about. Munguia will have learned massively from this. And he will go on to be a great fighter, I think. You know, listen, the sharpener last week, Addy, was Oscar De La Hoya getting into Canelo and saying, you know, and saying, put some effing respect on my name because I made you. All that did was sharpen Canelo for a performance, in my view.
Yeah, it was fantastic, though. When Oscar stood up.
Oh, amazing, amazing.
Yeah, when he stood up in his wonderful suit and he kind of sort of had this pre-written rant ready. And I was like, this is going to be good. And then Canelo responded back in Mexican and English. It was broken, sorry, Spanish. And I was like, it was just fascinating to see these two.
Do you know what he was calling him?
I was lucky enough to have Claudia Trejos next to me.
Okay, yeah.
And she was translating it.
Wow.
And that was her reaction. I was like, come on, talk to me. What was he saying?
I speak Spanish. He was calling him, I can't even say it all on here, but he was calling him if you wanted to have a fight with someone and draw them in, you literally were calling them a da 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 da, anything like from there to there in insults to kind of make someone snap to have a fight. It was unbelievable. It was unreal. I was going, this is unreal. And here's the thing. Whatever you say about Oscar, whether it was natural or not, he lit that promotion up with that speech, didn't he?
Oh, he most certainly did. And that was Oscar, the promoter, that I think we all love. Like, I mean, he's had the Ryan Garcia situation we'll get to is a bad one. But aside from that, he's had a good few weeks with Ryan Garcia. And that fight was massive at the Barclays Center, having Jaime Munguia in a massive fight as well. It's not been a bad couple of weeks for Oscar De La Hoya. And he loves it. He loves the limelight. He loves being the man. And he stole a lot of the attention.
Listen, he wore his golden trunks in that video as well with his girlfriend spraying the hose. They are quite a peculiarly funny kind of quite entertaining couple, aren't they? Listen, he's enjoying himself. He's had his lipo. He looks phenomenal. He's a great character. I've always loved Oscar. He's as zany as Ryan Garcia, frankly. Mm. But for some reason, whatever Oscar does, you've got to love him at the end of it because he's good for boxing. Simple as that.
He certainly is. We'll end on this one. I think in recent times, the best Canelo that I've seen was Golovkin 2. I thought that performance against Gennady Golovkin the second time round was really good. The first one, I think many of us think Golovkin won. The second one, I think Canelo maybe just edged it. That was Canelo at 100% for me, pound for pound number one, the best fighter on the planet, no questions asked. Where is he now from that? Like, if that's Canelo at 100, what was the Canelo on the weekend? Where is he?
He was so composed, though. He took punches, he regathered, he was winning rounds. He's very clever, he's very smart at the beginning and end of rounds. Where is he? Where is he? I think he just brings out a performance based on who he is. If I say 90, do you agree with me?
90 is a bit fair, yeah. Probably maybe 85, 90. I think
that's all he needed.
That's what I was just about to say. If all he needs is 85, 90, then it's fine. Why waste everything in the tank when you don't need to show it yet? He'll need it for Benavidez and Crawford, but he didn't need it for Munguia. So still very, very good. All right, you're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Next up, we're going to get stuck into Tyson Fury versus Alexander Usyk. The historic undisputed heavyweight title fight is now just 2 weeks away.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
All three in favor of the winner and the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world, Lennox
With all these fans coming here to support me, I gotta pull it out. Enough people were trying to stop me. The Americans didn't want me to take it over the Atlantic to Britain, but I actually persevered and succeeded.
The biggest fight of the 21st century taking place. It's never happened before. Four belts on the line, and we're gonna find out who the best heavyweight in the world is.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the undefeated, reigning and defending WBC and lineal heavyweight champion of the world, introducing the Gypsy King, Tyson Fury!
Uppercut from Fury, followed by the left hand, and another right. Down goes the shoulder, and the referee has waved the fight over.
Yous are all dossers, he's getting knocked out, and yous two are going to be working for me, carrying me bag slings. Remember I said it on this stage?
Let the fight go on. Let's get the press conference going,
Sausage. Make your man talk.
Let the belts come back home to Ukraine.
From Ukraine, Alexander Usyk!
And Tony lights out for Tony Bellew. Dave Caldwell stops in the ring. I think he's going to stop it. And Alexander Usyk finds the answer.
He's unbelievable. I can't emphasize how good he is.
I don't think Fury's boxed anybody like him. A good Alexander Usyk probably holds his own with just about any heavyweight that's ever lived.
If he can't find explosives, he will not beat Tyson Fury. I don't care what they say.
I'm the last undisputed heavyweight champion of the world right now. So in order for one of those guys to have my crown, they have to fight.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Look, we've been waiting for this one for, I'd say, the best part of 12 to 18 months. It's been on, off, on, off. It certainly is on. We are obviously talking about the undisputed heavyweight title fight May 18th between Tyson Fury, the WBC lineal heavyweight champion, and Alexander Usyk, the unified heavyweight champion, former undisputed champion at cruiserweight. This is exactly what the sport of boxing needs. I've always said this, like, when the heavyweight division is good, boxing is good. The heavyweight division right now is good. And as a result, I think we've seen that boxing is very, very good as well. Let's hear from Tyson Fury's long-term promoter, Mr. Frank Warren, who spoke with Gareth A. Davis and spoke about not just what this fight means to Tyson Fury, but what happens if Tyson Fury wins the fight.
He's already beat the best heavyweight his generation in Klitschko, in basically in his backyard. He then went to the States and the three fights against Wilder, against who at that time, up to the first fight, had never, or second fight, I should say, had never been defeated, was a world champion for 6 years and statistically was the hardest punching heavyweight out there. He beat him. And I think that makes him the best heavyweight of his generation. By beating Usyk, who a lot of people fancy, by the way, as you mentioned, it's a lot of people, including yourself, you think it could be a draw. A lot
I just think it'll be controversial and cagey, Frank. That's the way I see it. I may be proved completely wrong.
I don't mean it as a criticism. I'm just saying that there is a division and how people think the fight would end. But by beating him, there's no doubt about it then that he is the best heavyweight of his generation, and he goes up there with all the greats.
Frank Warren speaking to our very own Gareth A. Davis. I feel like obviously Frank understands the magnitude of the fight, and he's correct, right? I mean, if Tyson Fury does become undisputed heavyweight champion, that's it. His name is up there with some of the greatest heavyweights we've ever seen. Some might say it's already there, but this cements it. You're the best heavyweight of this generation, so by default, you're one of the best heavyweights of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. And what Frank said there, which I think is poignant. Obviously, I've had many chats with Frank about this fight. I mean, as you know, I'm on record and I will stay on record as saying I think it's going to be a controversial draw, which is a weird pick, I know. But I just feel that these two guys may nullify each other, Eddie. And to pick over the bones of this, as we will be doing for the next 12 days, will be fantastic, phenomenal, delving into the past. As I said, I'm speaking to both Evander Holyfield and Lennox Lewis later today, and I want their views on this, which is this. Does it need to be, as Frank Warren said, vintage Tyson Fury in order for him to defeat Alexander Usyk? I think it does. And he's had a habit of pulling out that cloak of invincibility when he's needed to. He looks in great shape. I speak to his team on a regular basis, speak to his manager, speak to his father, speak to Frank Warren. They all say he's really ready for this. Is the cut on his eye going to be an effect? Will the extra training camps that Alexander Usyk's had to go through have an effect on him? Twice this has been delayed, even in the last 6 months, remember? So all I want now at this stage, and all millions of us want now, is for those two men to step into the ring and the referee give them their final instructions.
Yeah.
Because it would be catastrophic if it didn't happen right now, in my view, because the next 12 days are going to be massively focused into it happening.
No, you're spot on. I mean, I just want them both wrapped in cotton wool. Yeah. Obviously, I fully understand that they've got to still do, you know, a couple of sparring sessions. Cancel them all, please. I don't want nothing else, nothing more, please. I'm desperate to see this. And I think, look, again, I've said on this pod quite a lot that boxing is in an amazing space right now, and it is. But if this fight weren't to happen, it kind of ruins everything that we've built in the last 6 months and everything that His Excellency Turki Alşek's built in the last 6 months, because this is it. This is what we've been building for. The undisputed heavyweight title fight. These are the best two. This is who is the baddest man on the planet. This is everything. And if it weren't to happen, oh my God. I'd be devastated.
It's unthinkable, isn't it?
Yeah, honestly, it really is. Because, I mean, His Excellency done so well in sort of making sure that it was put on straight away when he did that press conference, if you like, with Ariel Helwani, where he got everyone on Zoom.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, look, it's happened. We move on. This is the new date. If it weren't to happen again, and I think it will, I'm sure everything's going to be fine. But I'm like you. I just want to get them in the ring. First bell, referee moves out the way, and these two geniuses come together in the ring. I don't want no issues whatsoever.
And you can also see that His Excellency is getting very excited, because I think he put out, I think in an interview with ESPN, that yes, they're going to have the second fight in November. He gave a date for it. I don't have it in front of me right now. And yes, we're having the winner versus Anthony Joshua. And if it's Fury, it'd be Joshua March 25th or something next year, March 25th. We're already saying, yes, we're planning. Becoming a promoter. Becoming more of a promoter and not just a facilitator. For me, and I'm really enjoying the experts at the moment as well, the boxers. I mean, we're all supposedly experts, but enjoying different voices on the fight. The Ben Davison comments about Usyk. Duke McKenzie, who's been on with me recently on Saturday night's Fight Night Talks, what Duke, a legend of British boxing, should be in the International Boxing Hall of Fame, by the way, 14 world title fights, which world champion in three weight divisions, an absolute British legend, British Caribbean legend, that man. Known him a very, very long time, was the first guy that did fight night shows on Talk Sport with me a decade ago. He is saying that Usyk will outbox Fury, and I'm fascinated by that. Ben Davison saying, no, Usyk doesn't pedal backwards. He's quite an aggressive fighter with his footwork. Tony Bellew, your mate Tony Bellew, talking about him, about the way that Usyk keeps you busy and keeps your concentration level so high, he's exhausting and he's tricking you a lot. And he's got those dancing Cossack feet and those kind of that nightclub fun party dancing style as well. You know, I want to do it now. I'm doing it now. He's an extraordinary character. And then Frank's Noble Art, the Frank Gilfeather saying, Fury's 1-2 grab, but 1-2 grab might work against Usyk, by the way, putting all his weight on him. I just see those two men standing off, as I say, nullifying each other, and it being very, very cagey, hard to score, and I don't see either man knocking the other one out. And I see when they make attacks, I see the other one blocking them, or I don't know. How do you see it? How do you see the action itself?
Gareth, honestly, I wish, and I'd love to sort of go into this speech of how I think this plays out. I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah. I think both men are geniuses. I think Tyson Fury has been through a lot physically. He looks in way better shape, but Alexander Usyk looks in fascinating shape as well. And this is what I love, the fact I have no idea how it plays out, because I almost shouldn't know, because this is genuinely number one versus number two. This is unbeaten versus unbeaten. This is two guys that have sort of mastered the art of boxing. Honestly, this is going to be, I don't know.
I do, look, if I'm honest, I would love to see Fury win, because I want to see Fury and Joshua.
AJ, yeah.
I really do, because in some ways, Addy, and you know, not pouring scorn on the Undisputed, seven belts on the line, by the way. Can you name them?
Apart from the obvious, is the IBO and...
Come on, seven belts on the line.
So WBC, WBA, IBF, WBO, IBO, Ring Magazine, Lineal Heavyweight Title, and Riyadh Season Title.
There we go, it's eight. Okay. Well done, it was eight, not seven.
Okay, wow, that's a lot.
I know, it's quite extraordinary. And
how are they going to wear them all in the ring?
You got Big John there. You got Big Shane. You've got Spencer.
You're already predicting them. Tyson Fury to win him.
I am. I do think Fury's the number one. And you know, apart from being accused of being a Fury fan, but I think he's the number one. This is Usyk's opportunity to show he is the number one, that he belongs in the pantheon of greats, that he belongs alongside the likes of Evander Holyfield, who's the only one, really. I know David Haye beat Valuyev to become, I think, WBA.
WBA,
thank you. I was there, I should remember. The WBA champion in a brilliant performance. But and David Haye was an incredible fighter. But I mean, he needed, if he had done for Klitschko, he would belong up with the Evander Holyfields and the Usyks of this world. When you think that Evander fought seven times against three great giant fighters in his period, twice against Lewis, twice against Mike Tyson, three times against Riddick Bowe. And he was a cruiserweight, remember? That's like Usyk having a trilogy with Joshua, fighting Wilder, fighting Fury twice, fighting Hergovich, and he's done Dubois and Chisora already. I mean, it's an extraordinary time. This is the moment where that avalanche starts down the mountain in this heavyweight division, because from this fight. From the result of these two fighting, everything else falls into place. Will Frank Sanchez rise? Will Flip Hergovic rise? Will Dubois rise again? Will Joshua be the man that actually takes over? We don't know. So, oh man, I'm getting so excited. Cannot wait to be there, my friends.
No, honestly, it's something very, very special. Before we move on, obviously, to our final section, I don't know if you covered this last week. Obviously, I was away last week, but we did get some really sad news from Francis Ngannou about the passing of his son. Obviously, look, prayers and thoughts are with the big man, Francis Ngannou, obviously going through a difficult time right now, and hopefully with those prayers, it will obviously be difficult to get over, but hopefully time is a good healer. And our prayers, as I said, go to former UFC heavyweight champion Francis Ngannou. All right, you're listening to Find an Extra on TalkSport 2. Up next, we'll discuss yet another failed drug test, this time for Ryan Garcia in the wake of his win over Devin Haney. Welcome back to Find an Extra on TalkSport 2. I was in New York a couple of weeks back for the big one between Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia. Devin Haney defending his super lightweight strap. And I will say this, in terms of atmospheres, in terms of just fight weeks, probably the best fight week I've ever covered. It was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. And then obviously the fight itself turned out to be crazy. And it was almost like a redemption arc for Ryan Garcia. Although he came in overweight, 143 pounds, we can't skip over that. It was a redemption arc, and he's gone on this, if you like, this tour of just kind of lapping up all the praise. And then, unfortunately, as with the good come the bad, became this story about Ryan Garcia testing positive for Osterine. I think Dan Raphael was one of the first to break it, followed by, as you know, the journos out there that cover these things, Mike Coppinger, et cetera, et cetera. And so has begun now the quest to either for him to prove his innocence or for the New York State Athletic Commission to prove that he is guilty and slap him on the wrist with potentially a 6 to 12 month ban. How disappointing though, Gareth, before we get into what Osterine is and what it means to Ryan Garcia, how disappointing is it though that Ryan, who I think with that win almost became the face of boxing, it became so big overnight, it was sensational. How disappointing that this has happened to him after what was the biggest win of his career?
Well, we get accused very often, or boxing can be accused of being, you know, it's very big news inside a bubble. But there's no question, I think you're right, that his victory over Devin Haney took him mainstream. And he becomes a very important pivot. He became, in that moment, a very important pivotal figure in the development of a group of young fighters in America who are potentially like half a dozen stars, the Magnificent Six or Seven, call them what you want. You know, with Devin Haney and Ryan himself and Tank Davis and Keyshawn Davis, a lot of Davises in here. I'm liking that. Teofimo Lopez, Vasyl Lomachenko, Shakur Stevenson. Say there's a seven there. He's pivotal in the fact that what it's proven is you don't need a belt with Ryan Garcia, I think, to have big fights now. That was 2 weeks ago when the fight happened. And it was an amazing victory. And he did the Enrico Il Quarto thing, the Pirandello novel that I was talking about, Luigi Pirandello, pulling the wool over the eyes of his courtiers, playing this incredible mind game, that one of the biggest heists in boxing history, rather like Steve Collins saying he was hypnotized against Chris Eubank all those years ago. But brilliant psychology and mind games. And yeah, he was somewhere up out in the wilds, in his zany self as well, at the edge of the cliff without being close to falling off it. All that said, there was a big collective sigh of, oh no, when the positive drug test came back for Osterine, which obviously is used in cancer care, breast cancer care for women, because it builds tissue, it makes lean muscle tissue, and obviously has been used by certain fighters or in supplements and so on.
Amir
Khan got a two-year ban, didn't he, 2022?
For the fight against Kell Brook, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, so it's there and it's a drug. It's been on the banned list for 16 years. It, you know, in 2008 on the WADA, World Anti-Doping Agency list. It was a it was one of those, oh no, not again moments.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. And so it's very disappointing, Eddie. And the fascinating thing that's gone on about it is the immediate profession of innocence from Ryan Garcia, the fact they're going to do the work, the desire to see the B sample, which is the same as the A sample, cut in half at the time. It was a urine test that showed up Austrian on the weigh-in day and the day of the fight. So it's very, very serious. It's very, very serious because, you know, had he damaged Devin Haney irreparably in that fight, and they were talking about killing each other, if you recall.
Yeah, Bill Haney got involved in that conversation.
Yeah. But, you know, we would be dealing with a very, very, well, a heinous criminal case right now, potentially.
Yeah.
The proof that, did this guy take a banned substance? So it's very serious for the sport. It's very serious for Ryan Garcia. He deserves the opportunity to prove his innocence, in my view. And the fact he's been very prominent around events you were at. I know you were there with him in Vegas. Did you manage to speak to him at all?
I did. I caught up with him, and he was almost disgusted of the fact that I thought, or I even questioned whether or not he did. It was almost like, don't even ask me. Of course I didn't. It was almost like that. And look, I think most people, when they get caught, put up this defense immediately. I think we've seen Conor Benn do it as well, haven't we? But he does seem very aggressive with it as well. And I'm not a scientist. I kind of wait for the people that are smarter and know a lot more about this drug. And, you know, I wait for it to play out, if you like. But he does make you feel like something has gone on with this test or gone on with this whole situation. But again, that's just maybe because I have a relationship with him as such, if you like, a small relationship where I want to believe him. I will say this, there was an overnight test for norandrosterone, which is, I believe it's a kind of a byproduct of nandrolone. He came back negative for that, which is important for him. So it is just but it is the Osterine, and that's the only thing they're dealing with now. So again, we just have to wait and see how this plays out. But if it does come back that he is guilty and he does get a ban, it's just disappointing.
Oh, it's more than that.
That's what it is. It's
extraordinary.
Yeah, so, it is, right? Because again, he is on top of the world at the moment. And you want that you want someone like him to be the face of the sport because he kind of engages the youth. He's a good looking guy. He actually fights. He gives you fights. He's active. He seems to be one of the ones that will fight anyone. Obviously, having fought Tank and fought Devin. He's been talking about going up to 147, 154. So it'll be very, very disappointing. But at least we know Varda are doing what Varda should be doing, which is testing for everything and finding people that are cheating. And looks like they could have found Ryan Garcia.
Yeah, I think, look, he's as thrilling as he is vulnerable when he fights. So he brings so much. You know what he's going to do. He's going to try and knock out his opponent. He did it against Devin Haney by knocking him down three times and taking over in the fight. In a very close fight, by the way, in my view. But you could see in Las Vegas last weekend when he was there, and obviously Gervonta Davis turned up. You could see that Gervonta Davis wants a rematch. You can see a big fight. You can see the big bucks. You can see a fight maybe at 145 this time or 143 this time. Ryan Garcia is pivotal in the hopes of those other names in having big fights. He's the one with a big following. Obviously, Tank Davis is an extraordinary talent. And I loved how much media he's growing up right now, by the way.
Big time.
That surly character who, you know, came out of the wire, basically, of Baltimore, Maryland, from that environment of crack cocaine and methamphetamine and where he grew up and children's homes. He started to become, I don't mean a man.
He should be. He's 29 now.
Yeah. But there's a growth in him. He looks fantastic. I like the clarity in his eyes when he was talking to everyone. He did a lot of interviews with Ellie Setback, I've known Ellie a very long time. He did a lot of backstage interviews, Ellie, this time, and I thought they were really good. I think, for me, I mean, people have been calling for a lifetime ban from Ryan Garcia, I've heard in some places. He hasn't even had a chance to prove his innocence yet. Hold on. Hold on. Let's not be so knee-jerk. But if he is proved to have taken that and he's got no defence in his own case, he's been around a while. He's never tested for anything before. I don't think an immediate ban, a lifetime ban or 10-year ban is appropriate. I do think it needs a punishment, but it's not good for boxing right now. And again, it's the worst area of boxing. People dying, people getting damaged irreparably, and drug taking. They're the three worst areas in sport. Worse than the smoke and mirrors and fights not happening. And it's just depressing when you work in the industry around that, isn't it?
Yeah, I know it is. And look, we wait to see how this one plays out. Hopefully, for Ryan's sake, it's some sort of positive news. But if it isn't positive, the New York State Athletic Commission need to do what they need to do. And as much as, you know, Ryan's good for the sport, bans need to be imposed, proper bans.
Or the whole purse, or they sign a contract where their whole purse is taken
away.
Something
money,
like that.
You're so, right.
A deterrent.
Right.
A proper deterrent.
I agree, because... Yeah, yeah. 12 months is nothing for fighters that fight once a year. You're right.
Oh, money. I earn 20 million for a fight. It's that as well. Yeah. You know?
Money's the most important thing. All right. Unfortunately, some bad news as well has happened in the last couple of weeks, and that is that the Bivol Beterbiev fight is off. Artur Beterbiev injured, likely to have some sort of knee surgery, they're saying, so won't be able to be back in the ring until at the earliest the fall, which is very American, autumn for us English fight fans, around September, October. Malik Zinad will step in and take on Dmitry Bivol. Many of you might not have heard of Malik Zinad. He is unbeaten, but look, obviously he's not clearly not a top fighter. But for Dmitry Bivol, it is a case of stay busy. I said, and I kind of tweeted, Gareth, that Anthony Yard or Joshua Buatsi, if they got the call, should have stepped in. That someone, this is an opportunity for someone, but obviously, look, they're trying to get their fight on, but... It is happy, or it's good, I say, that Dmitry Bivol still stays on the card. I do wonder now, though, will he still be the main event? Will he headline the 5 versus 5, or will it just go automatically now to Deontay Wilder, Zhili Zhang? Like, is Dmitry Bivol versus Malik Zinad bigger than Deontay Wilder versus Zhili Zhang?
No, but what I was thinking was, here's my immediate thought when it happened, was... Right, here's a chance for Frank Warren to ring Anthony Yard, say, right, get back in my stable right now, my friend. We've had a very long and illustrious time together. Bivol is an Eddie Hearn guy. You're my guy. We can make it a 6v6.
Ooh.
You know? Oh, yeah, exactly. It's a shame, isn't it? I think it didn't happen because, I don't think that's happening because... His Excellency Turki Alshake and the team want to do better than Bivol. It easily makes a main event at some point. It's a boxing fans fight. Zinad, I think, is 14 with something like the IBF, ranked 14 with the IBF, undefeated. Libyan, fights out of Malta now, I think. 16 knockouts in 22 fights. No, he's not top level, but you've got to think about his mind right now as well, which is, oh my God, look at this opportunity to change my life generationally for my family. If I pull off the unexpected in this, I'm not expecting him to, but if I pull off the unexpected, do I get a rematch of Bivol, or do I get to fight Beterbiev afterwards? Do I get to fight for the undisputed? Opportunity knocks. Opportunity knocks here for him. But it is disappointing. I think it'll be main event. You're right. The bigger fight now is definitely Deontay Wilder, Zhili Zhang, and Flip Hergovich and Daniel Dubois. Maybe
I think they might
co-main at three, and then we have the two heavyweight fights.
Yeah,
lost.
I think that, they might change sense. It around a bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Absolutely.
No point having Bivol versus Zinad as the main event. Gareth, we crammed in a hell of a lot into that hour. Honestly, we did. We should be charging extra for this. It was so much, but hopefully you guys have enjoyed it. Gareth, as always, my man, thank you very much, and have a good rest of the day.
Flimsy stands slowing you down? Well, it's time to upgrade. Armadillo builds durable, North American-made tablet stands and kiosks. We're so confident, we offer a lifetime warranty. So, elevate your business and visit armadillo.com. That's ARMODILO.com and use code ACAST for 5% off. Armadillo. Built to last. Designed to impress.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.